Kaimi Fairburn ready to go after the timeout. It is a 28-yarder for the win. The kick is on the way. It is up. It is good. And the Houston Texans knock the Bills out of the playoffs and the Bills season.
Trust me, I get it. There's a lot of pain in going home empty-handed.
I won't be over this until we start playing again.
But the kind of pain that eats at you just makes us hungrier.
But I promise you, our guys are hungry and we'll be back.
And we'll never stop fighting. Winners know how to turn that pain into growth.
And late last night, things heated up between the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills, ending with Stephon Diggs being traded to Buffalo.
Stephon Diggs is putting on a clinic now.
Stephon Diggs makes a catch!
They can't be stopped!
This isn't the same old Bills, man. We're not going to let anybody on the outside tell us who we are.
Come on, what you going to do? Who you going to be? Yeah. Who you going to be? Who you going to be? Who you going to be?
Got Tyler Kroft open. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
They want to talk about our blue collars and our rust belts. We'll just keep faking guys out of their shoes.
Oh, gosh, ankles, socks, and shoes.
Go ahead. Keep calling us underdogs while we unleash our quarterback.
Let them do all the talking, Dan.
Josh Allen's been incredible. It's a thing. It's becoming a superstar thing.
Finding a way.
Tell us we can't stop the best, that we won't meet the moment, and we will find a way.
Oh, he lost the ball! Buffalo takes over!
Down the middle, picked up by Jordan Poyer in the end zone!
Intercepted by Terry Johnson in midfield, running down the right sideline, he's gonna score!
This year, there's no in the hunt, backing in, settling. No, we're not showing up to the playoffs on a guest pass. We're writing our own ticket.
Easiest way to playoffs is winning your division. That's our mindset, that's our goal.
So we'll see you in Buffalo in January. Be ready. It might be chilly.
If that doesn't give you chills, I don't know what does. The Buffalo Bills are AFC East champions for the first time in 25 years. Why So Serious podcast, season 3, episode 15. We're going to get to Anthony Romeo with the Colorado Bills backers in just a minute. But for Ashley, Will, and Fredo, guys, it happened. Pop the champagne. We're partying like it's 1995.
Honestly, all day on like social media and everything. Every time I would see Bills and AFC East champions in the same sentence, I would just tear up. I'm like, why can I cannot control my emotions right now? Like, it's just, it's so crazy. Like, Fredo and I, we've been waiting for this all our lives.
Yeah, I was three.
I was three.
3 years old. And that video, shout out to the Bills.
Because guys are fucking cool. Years old. I was your age the last time they went. No, I'm just bullshitting. I'm not. But
you're not that old.
Hey, still in all, it seemed like an eternity, man. I mean, same old stuff I've been saying. You know, we've been through a roller coaster ride here in Buffalo, and watching the ups and downs. We had some huge ups way back, and nothing at all to show for it. Probably in the last 15. Now all of a sudden, here we are, you know, back in the mix of everything, and everybody's mouth on television is talking about the Buffalo Bills.
Everybody's talking about them, and it's amazing that, first of all, what happened after was just straight-up madness. What happened at the Buffalo airport, we're probably going to have, like, COVID running around Erie County, like, no tomorrow. In Denver for being a game that there was no fans was awesome. I want to bring in Anthony Romeo. He is with Colorado Bills backers.
What's up, guys?
Anthony, what's going on, man?
Hey, yo.
What's going on, man?
What's up, Anthony?
Long time no see, guys. How you been?
Good, man. How are
you? All right, man. What's going on?
Oh, you know, still riding the high. Cannot believe what happened this weekend. And I don't think I'm going to take the suit off until the Super Bowl is over. Oh, man. That's crazy.
Really quick, I want to just bring this up because I find this hysterical. I texted Anthony at probably 8:10, 8:15, and said, yo, man, you want to come on tonight even for a couple minutes? He goes, I'm at the grocery store, but sure.
He's still right there.
Get home, get the suit on, and be live.
I'm telling you.
8:55. That is impressive, man.
I haven't taken it off. I'm telling you, man. It's
you post
Let's go, baby!
Like, oh, I didn't know your guys' mics were muted. My bad. how awesome was that scene to be a part of?
I mean, I wish you could see my arm. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Just, I mean, like Ashley said, I think I replied to one of your tweets where you said you were getting emotional during the day. I had to work in the morning, and I'm driving to work, and just like this roller coaster of emotions that like, first I was just pumped and I was excited and I played Renegade because I'm like, this is awesome. You know, and I'm just like feeling it and I'm pumped. And then all of a sudden, like a wave of like, oh my God, I'm gonna cry. This is 25 years. I'm gonna cry. We're gonna do this here today. And then there's the emotion for me. This is right in my backyard here in Denver, and just the anger and the frustration of God, I need to be there. It's right here in my backyard, and I can't go to the game. And we had such high hopes for this and plans and everything for this. And now it's a huge game and I can't be there. So there was that frustration, but oh my God. And the Colorado Bills backers, a couple people on the Facebook page said, you know, we can't get together for the game because we're under like red here in Denver, which means none of the bars are open and, you know, you can only do outdoor dining and such. So we haven't been able to get together as a group. But a bunch of people said, you know what, after the game, we're going to go to the stadium and greet the buses. And obviously we figured they can't stop. Nobody's going to come out, but we can cheer them on as they leave and they could see us and feel our presence. And oh my God, it was just spectacular what actually happened. When I got there, maybe 30 minutes after the game and a bunch of people were already there. And I'd say maybe 70 or so of us gathered total. Everybody was wearing masks. Obviously, we're all outside. It was distant enough. We were all kind of lined up along the street right outside of the stadium, waiting, you know, for the press conference and everything. And it ended up being an extended time because they're celebrating and doing all the post-game stuff. And so we're waiting out in the cold, but, you know, it wasn't too bad here in Denver, luckily. And the buses finally come, and we all crossed the street because the police car came in front of me, as you kind of saw at the beginning of the video there. And, you know, there's about 70 of us. We all go and we're kind of lined up a little bit bunched up, but not too bad. And the buses are coming and we're just cheering loud, holding our signs and everything. And then the first bus stops. The door opens. Sean McDermott comes right out, right in front of me. Literally, I just happened to be in the right spot and you know, gives us the fist cheer kind of like, yes, we did it. Yes, we just that simple acknowledgement from him. I mean, we all went nuts. It was just like, oh my God, we didn't expect them to stop. We didn't expect them to acknowledge us at all. But McDermott, as the head coach, was like, you know what? We have to acknowledge that these fans are here and celebrating with us. And I'll remember this the rest of my life. I was part of the first crew to greet the AFC East champion Buffalo Bills at the stadium. I mean, it's just absolutely nuts. I mean, we knew that the airport going back to Buffalo is going to be packed with Bills fans. And I was a little bit worried about that given the COVID and seeing what happened there. But for us, it was just, oh my God, Sean McDermott came out and acknowledged us. And we could see that the place, we couldn't see in the buses, but you could see that they were recording us from inside the bus. You know, you could see the lights from a couple of their camera phones and stuff. So I was waiting. I'm like, I hope the players post the video of us. And a couple of them did. You could see a couple of them. Matt Barkley posted one with us at there. Yeah, so it was just wild. What an experience. I'm still getting goosebumps. We won, guys. AFC East is ours. In 25 years, we waited for this, and it's ours. Unbelievable.
It really is. And honestly, you had, like you said, the opportunity to really be a part of that first group to greet the guys. I mean, that was really cool. The video was amazing. While we have you, I wanted to just bring up the airport situation. Do we think, I mean, first of all, madness, absolute madness. Do we think at all that this will hinder the opportunity of attending a playoff game here in Buffalo?
Yo, I pray to God, if this is the one reason that we can't go to the game because that many people went to the airport, I'm going to be so absolutely frustrated because we knew what it was supposed to be. I mean, you did see some people wearing their masks, not everybody. You saw people drinking alcohol, like out in the open containers. It was cool. it's awesome and it's definitely history. And I wish I could have been there, but I feel like keeping people around me and being able to work was more important than being at the airport.
I agree. And I mean, there's a couple of people right there who don't have a mask on. It's definitely interesting to see. I found today there was a few reporters were talking about the Brighton Eggert Pharmacy offering to do 15,000 rapid tests before a home game. So,
wow.
We'll see. I don't know, but the problem is they can't rapid test everybody on game day. Mm-hmm. They're talking about rapid testing like maybe 5,000 on Friday or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or if the game's on Saturday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So then you still, if they get rapid tested on any of those days, and they still have 2 days to kind of, and you can't confine somebody to their house and keep track of it. So interesting.
Yeah, I'm more.
First of all, we're talking Buffalo Bills fans. There is no confining Buffalo Bills fans, especially when we're AFC champs. We're going to the playoffs. It's no way. By then, we've been put the smack down on New England again, double up on New England in one season. I mean, there is no confining anything. I mean, listen, I just think that we're not going to be able to go to that game. I think that, to be quite honest, I don't care what they say. I just think that the governor won't allow it. I don't think that we'll be allowed to, as great as an opportunity as it is, as wonderful as it would be to go. I just can't see him lifting it that quickly. From where we are right now. I mean, we're basically where Anthony and I are right now. I mean, we're pretty much, close to red in a lot of areas, and everything's still closed up here. They just opened a few things here. It's no way they're allowing 20, 30,000 people even to go to the stadium. I realize we can hold almost 70, but I'm saying if they did like a third of it or something like that, I don't think they'll allow it.
Agreed. Anthony?
And not only that, hey, let's be real. Do you know how many people are going to be arrested game day? If we have a home playoff game and we're not allowed to go inside the stadium, they're going to violate every single tailgate law, break every single table, even the tables that aren't regular tables, restaurant tables. I'm talking about these boys. They won't rest here in Buffalo.
Hey, if we all go, they can't stop all of us. That's right.
It might be like a protest, just everybody shows up. But, I mean, I definitely didn't like everything I saw at the airport. It was too tight of quarters, way too many people. At least it's outside, so that gives some hope. But the biggest thing is the people without masks, the antics afterwards. You saw some of the video of the people leaving, but the people who were jumping on the cars and, at Josh Allen's window and all that, that was absolutely absurd and just kind of really made me cringe. But in the grand scheme of things, I think there was very slim chance that Cuomo would have ever considered allowing fans anyway, given the greater situation, right? Not all of Buffalo, believe it or not, is Buffalo Bills fans and would go to this game, even though it feels to us like that. But all of Buffalo right now is under the strain of coronavirus. And it would take a sweeping change for something to allow fans to be able to go to the game. I think Cuomo has played it safe this entire time, which you can, take your politics sides on that, whatever you want to say. He's probably doing the right thing medically, saying, it's just not worth the risk if people are going to get sick and some people will die. Even though I'm sure right now Bills fans would be like, let me go. I know I'm taking it. Let me go.
But right. I'll die for this.
I don't see Cuomo letting it happen, unfortunately, but it's still a greater issue. I don't think this incident will affect the ultimate outcome that's going to be, we're not going to have fans.
Well, Anthony, listen, man, the bigger thing with the Bills fans is this. We have already been suffering through coronavirus in our own losing way for the last decade. So it's like we've already been infected internally. I mean, I'm surprised half of us are still alive or not in state hospital somewhere dealing with these Buffalo Bills. I mean, so, right now a fan looking at the fact that, hey, I know I might go to jail, but I'm going to this damn game and I'm tailgating and everything.
I believe people will show up at the stadium. I have no doubt about that. That will happen.
Oh, yeah.
Tailgating. I'm sure the people who have
private property around there are going to, have something happening. So I don't know how the police are going to deal with that, because I'm sure the fans will show up on game day. It's just a matter of how close they can get without getting arrested and how the police are going to monitor it. But yeah, they might hear the fans from outside the stadium. It'll be that crazy.
Well, there right. is that law that got passed. It wasn't a law. I don't know if it was a law or if it was legislation, whatever it was, but there was something that got passed back in August or September that they're banning private properties from even hosting anything. So we might have to go as far as outside of the village of Orchard Park or town of Orchard Park into Hamburg to do that. I know Hamburg's not far away, but it's still not right near the stadium. It's going to be interesting to see what plays out here in the next, what, probably 10, 11 days. The game is probably going to be the weekend of the 9th, or it is going to be the weekend of the 9th. It's 18 days from now. So that's going to be definitely – actually more than 18 days, like 20 days.
I was gonna say, wait a minute, we have two more games. That better be longer than
it's 10. It's
3 weeks.
20 days from now. 20 days from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that's soon.
I already took off.
Well, one good thing that's gonna play out is the Bills are gonna sweep the rest of this season, that's for sure. And I mean, I can pretty much see it. I mean, the writing's on the wall, man. Those boys are so dialed in. You watch them play, you know, the other day, and then you watch last week. I mean, they don't have the look of, hey, listen, we're just trying to win this championship. They, like Josh said, this is just a stepping stone. We're trying to win the big show.
And I love what he said after the game, too. He goes, this is all fine and dandy, but I want the shirt that has the fucking Super Bowl written on it. Pardon my French there. But that's what he said. So Josh said it. I can say it. But – literally, like, this guy not only did balls. Kyle Brandt, I love the guy, NFL Network guy. He went on yesterday and said, this guy is turning into a bad mother. And he is. He had a stellar game on Saturday against a good Denver defense. And yes, they're without Von Miller. Yes, they're maybe not the same Denver defense that was of 2 years ago. Maybe it's not the same Denver defense that won the Broncos the Super Bowl 5 years ago. But this is a good defense. And Josh went up and put 48 on these boys?
Yeah.
They could have had 50. They could have had 50.
No more than that.
Yo, I really thought at a certain point it was going to happen.
Just one kind.
I wanted that 55 points. No.
I was so selfish because this is really the first game that we've seen them actually just step on the gas and just go.
Yes. Yep. It is. And actually, I'm just getting a comment here from a viewer. Cincinnati's up 10-0 on Pittsburgh.
Oh,
really?
Second quarter with a lot of time left. There's 12 minutes left in the second quarter. But the two seed's a possibility, folks. If the Steelers lose tonight, the two seed's ours.
But isn't there really not a difference? Because you still have to play as the two seed this year because there's a seven seed.
I'd rather play the six.
Well,
second game would still be at home, though.
Well, it would still be at home. True. And you would probably have two home playoff games.
Fair. I just that first round bye is like elusive. I wish we could had a shot at that, you know?
Yeah.
I want to talk playoffs, though, really quick. And looking at the standings with 2 weeks left, because a lot can happen, a lot can play out. The 5, 6, 7 seeds right now are Cleveland, who is 10-4. They could overcome Pittsburgh. So call it Cleveland /Pittsburgh in that 5 spot. Indy's probably got a good stronghold on the 6 seed. And then you got Miami and Baltimore – pretty much the only two teams fighting it out for that 7 spot right now. Anthony, I want to start with you. Who gets into that 7 seed, and then who do you think the Bills play in round one?
Ooh, well, it's if the Pittsburgh loses tonight, and it's all down to the Bills, really. It's the week 17 game versus the Dolphins that's going to choose whether it's the Dolphins and Baltimore. Those are the two it's going to come down to, for me at least. And obviously, if the Bills are resting their starters – we're going to let Miami win and maybe make it to the playoffs that way. And honestly, I'd rather play Miami than Baltimore. So I'd prefer that to happen above all else. But in the end, if the Bills are playing for that 2 seed, it doesn't matter what Miami's playing for. We're going to beat them in week 17, and Baltimore's going to get the 7.
especially if Pittsburgh loses tonight, you are not going to see a starter sit next week. Maybe you'll see Diggs start because of that foot injury. And we still don't know what the severity of that is. All we know is that Kim Jones reported yesterday that it's not as bad as some people think and that it shouldn't sideline him, which is good. I say rest the guy the rest of the
way. Yeah, if there's any doubt, let it, you know, let it ride.
Let it go heal. Ahead. Let it heal, Steph.
Well, John Brown will be back too, so really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what? Right. You have John Brown and Beasley still for the last two games of the season. I'm okay with
Davis.
That.
You're fine.
And, oh my God, and Gabe Davis. But and Anthony's completely right. I'd rather play Miami over Baltimore. But man, I mean, this the AFC is comparable to the NFC of past years this year in terms of the playoffs. That seventh seed is going to be tough. That seventh seed is not going to be an easy game like it has maybe been in years past. I mean,
yeah, the AFC is stacked this year. And I've said it multiple times on my show that the NFC does not even begin to compare it to the AFC. I think the lowest seeds in the AFC could beat and compete with the highest seeds in the NFC. The Green Bay's and the New Orleans aren't as scary as the Colts and the Dolphins and the Baltimore Ravens still are. So yeah, the AFC is stacked. So it's not going to be an easy path for the Bills in the playoffs, but you know, that home field advantage might mean a lot.
It'll even be... without. Go ahead. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, I just said it would mean a lot even without the fans there. Because, you know, home field advantage, I've seen a lot of talk on Twitter. Today I got in an argument with a couple people saying the Bills weren't going to compete for the two seed. They'll rest their guys if they have the three. There's no way in heck that's happening. They're competing for that two seed. You want to guarantee yourself two home playoff games. There may not be fans, but there's still a huge advantage to playing at home. You know that field. You know how the sun shines there. You know how the wind blows. You know your own comfortability with the locker room, with the atmosphere. You don't have to travel. I mean, it's a huge deal to have home field advantage and that two seed. And it's within reach for the Bills. I think this season is going to come down. You know, both games remaining look like they're going to count for that two seed.
And especially
– I think Buffalo will end up with that two seed slot. But I honestly, even if they had to hit the road in the playoffs, the way this team is dialed in – I haven't really seen many teams, and like I said before, even the ones that we marked as the greats in the league, you know, your Seattle's, Mahomes, you know, with KC, and, you know, obviously you got Aaron out there slinging the ball all over the place, you know, 97 years old and still killing it. But the thing is, I don't care who we play, where we play. For the first time, I'm not a Bills super fan. I wasn't my whole life. I love Buffalo. I have friends that play, and that made me love it even more. But I can honestly say I feel that this team is equipped to play anywhere, any day, with anybody. We'll put these wide receivers and that quarterback especially up against anybody's defense and figure out a way to pick them apart. You watch the greats, you know, like I was saying, the Mahomes and these guys, they've been screwing up weekly. I mean, yeah, they've been winning a couple games, but sometimes by the skin of their teeth. Mahomes throwing picks, Russell Wilson, I don't know what the hell he's doing out there in Seattle. You know, Aaron's pretty consistent, true indeed, but they haven't played this team like that. I mean,
one thing about Aaron Rodgers that pissed me off after the games, right? First of all, they did no post game on the NFL Network for the Bills. It said NFL post game, and they did a pregame for the next game. And then I watched SportsCenter that night, and what do they talk about? Aaron Rodgers being the number one candidate for the MVP. The guy had 149 yards passing and two touchdowns. It's like, what?
Against Josh Allen Panthers.
Literally did double that. It's like, yeah, against a far inferior team. It's unbelievable how much love they
I'll tell you what, Josh should be in the talks for MVP for sure, the way he's playing.
He is. I mean, he's getting talk, but he's – I mean, and I saw that too. I woke up at my hotel in Cleveland this on Sunday morning, and I turned on ESPN while I was packing up my stuff, and I was so – I don't want to use the word irate because I wasn't irate, but I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers right now and how he's like number one in the league, whatever. But they didn't even have Josh Allen and the Bills in their A block. That was after commercial they talked about the Bills. Jesus. And to me, I'm just like, that's ridiculous, one. And two, screw you, ESPN.
Oh, unbelievable. And the hate keeps on coming. ESPN is the ultimate Bills hater, so they've always hated the Bills. So I'm
except
not
for
bad, it's like, what? You talk an hour, a half hour on college football, then barely talked about the Bills, and then called the Packers the MVP, leading MVP, Aaron Rodgers, and how praised on the Packers because they beat Carolina? Barely?
Like, what?
Right.
It is bull. I mean, I'm gonna throw up two stats right now. I'm gonna tell you Josh Allen's stats first. 4,000 yards passing on the dot, which is he's only 359 away from breaking Drew Bledsoe's record that he set way back in the early 2000s.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. He needs 359 yards. That will happen.
He's got it, yeah.
Especially with Pittsburgh, potentially if they lose tonight, they're going to – Josh will play on Monday night next week. 30 touchdowns in the air, 9 interceptions. He's got a few touchdowns running too. I don't know the exact number because for some reason ESPN is not showing me. Aaron Rodgers, 3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So yeah, he's better in that category, but Josh Allen's having the better year, guys. Josh Allen is, first of all, he's electrifying an entire fan base. He's playing football lights out, the best of his career, and he's making headlines every single week. Aaron Rodgers has done that his entire career, and it's Aaron Rodgers and it's the Green Bay Packers. You have Buffalo relative for once.
And to be honest, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, they haven't even been close to the amount of winning teams that the Bills have. No. You can't, you know, put them in the same category on that aspect either, because it's like, how is that fair to Josh Allen? He's out here beating Seattle, Las Vegas, Miami. I'm forgetting all these great people we beat because we're – just winning.
49ers, we were on
Rams.
Rams, 49ers, thank you. But like, yeah, like exactly. And who did they beat?
They beat Minnesota, they beat Detroit, they beat – I'll name the bad teams that they beat. They beat – and you know what? Minnesota came alive, so I'm not going to call Minnesota a bad team. But they beat Detroit, they beat Atlanta, they beat Houston. They actually lost to Minnesota once, so they split with Minnesota. They beat San Francisco. They beat Jacksonville, a team that now will most likely probably get the number one pick or at least have a damn good shot by 4 at home. They beat Chicago by 6. They beat Philadelphia by 2 scores. They beat Detroit again, but they only beat Detroit by 7 2 weeks ago. And then they beat Carolina by 8. I mean, they beat bad teams.
That's my point. Like, That's what I'm trying to say. Like, who did he really beat? We're out here beating, like, Russell Wilson and, you know, all these – I mean, the 49ers, maybe they were missing a lot of people, but you see these teams that we're beating, and it just doesn't make sense that that's – I get the stats are in the same conversation, but if you look at the schedules, I don't think it is.
If you watch
– I think if you just look at, you know, forget who they beat, like, and even who we beat, the play of Josh, just the play of Josh Allen, the way he's playing – where he's come from, which is huge, and just the level of play he's playing at. You know, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, man. We can't sit up and debate Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's a monster. He's freaking going to be a Hall of – he's definitely a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's that guy for sure. But when you just look at it in nuts and bolts, what Josh is doing in the league and what Aaron's doing in the league, okay, sure, Aaron's put up, what, 3,800, Fredo, 3,800 yards? Josh is about to break Bledsoe's record, which has been standing since Moles was here, which is incredible. And which is actually pitiful that it stood that long. But anyway, Josh is about to beat that. And the kid has no fear. I mean, he's about to break every single record. He's about to play this way for many more years to come. And he is just getting started. As far as the MVP, he should be definitely in the first 2 or 3 tops. And honestly, if he breaks Bledsoe's record, he should definitely be the MVP of this season.
Or on the cover of Madden next year.
It might be.
I don't
not
want that, though.
Curse it.
That curse is real.
Let's not do that.
But if you just watch the game, even in the loss, right? Like, look at our last loss, Arizona. Josh Allen had a phenomenal game. And
he really did.
He was, like you said, Fredo, he's the most valuable to this team, right? Like,
yes.
He's the reason we win. We win and lose on the back of Josh Allen. And if you watch the games, I challenge these people who vote for this award to watch all the Buffalo games and all the Green Bay games and tell me that Aaron Rodgers is more valuable to his team than Josh Allen is to ours. And there's no way you could come to that conclusion. Even just that he's
Josh Allen exactly is right. That's what the MVP is about. It's about who is the most valuable player to a team. The Bills are not nothing right now. The Bills are probably good without Josh Allen. They're probably maybe nine. Maybe they have 9 wins right now instead of 11 because we are stacked on both sides of the ball. But Josh Allen is the guy that is driving this locker room. Josh Allen is the guy who is playing lights out in this cultivating this fan base and just bringing everybody together. He's done so much for this city, whether it's the donations to Oshai, how he's acted out in public. I think the MVP award should have a little bit more to do with what they do outside as well. I know this is the Walter Payton Man of the Year, but I think that should get considered. You're the most valuable player to your team and in terms of the Bills, in terms to your city as well.
Hey guys, you want to enjoy one moment? This is beautiful. Josh could care less. He MVP, yep. Whatever. That's what I love. He could care less about any of this stuff that we're talking about. He wants to go on that field every week, represent, win these ball games, play with his boys. Like, you can just tell that he's literally going out there. Whenever they give him high praise after a game, you know, with the interview, Josh, you this, you that. He literally just flips it on his team, and yeah, he downplays everything because he knows that he's in a zone where he wants to be elite, true indeed, but he wants to be just better for himself. He wants to be better for the team, and he wants to be elite for his teammates. He wants to pull them up along with him, so he doesn't want to praise himself. So we're having fun with this MVP conversation. If he gets it, that's great. I'm sure he'd enjoy the accolades of that, but Josh just wants to go out there focused, man, and win these ball games and use these wide receivers he has and put the product on the field.
Agreed. Actually, Randy Hardman, 52, just said, without Josh, this is a 4-5 win team. That's a bold statement. That's a really bold statement.
That was a fact.
I mean, what, like, say, you know, you take Josh Allen out, you put Matt Barkley in. Say he got hurt at this beginning of the season. God forbid, never. I hope that does not happen. But he got injured at the beginning of the season. Matt Barkley is in there. Where are we at?
Loss. Immediate loss.
So I'm saying, like, we're not going to have – he might be right on that.
I mean, I don't dislike the guy, but we can't have Barkley come in here and think we won't be feeling the same way. I'll tell you right now.
I do love Matt Barkley.
I love Matt Barkley, so I'm not saying he's too horrible, but he is not Josh Allen.
You're right about that. Every single snap, I'll be like, oh boy, is this the snap that's going to take us out of the playoffs or lose this playoff game? You know, or do I turn my phone off because I know my friend Chris from Florida is about to blow me up because Barkley just threw 4 picks? I mean, you know, I don't want to have to go through that kind of stress. So I need Josh healthy and winning.
Let's not talking about this. Also, I don't want to worry about this.
Side note about Josh staying healthy. I don't want to go back to the airport too much, but that guy that was so near his car.
Touchdown, Cincinnati, 16-0.
What? Oh my gosh.
Just had to say that. Sorry.
That's okay.
16-0.
I don't even know what I wanted to, like, I wanted to sock this kid in the face. I go, how can you be so stupid at a time like this and be this close to our Lord and Savior, Josh Allen? Like, what are you doing? What are you thinking?
Exactly.
Just to get a video.
What was Josh thinking with his window rolled up or rolled down, though?
That's what I'm saying. Diggs is smart. He kept his windows up. He said, not today.
I don't know. I saw
hey,
that.
Hey, Anthony. You guys showed out in Denver, man. I was when you were talking about all the stuff that we had planned for this year, with the whole we had a concert plan, man. We had Coors sponsoring us, and
it was
10,000 people easy turning out for this party we had planned out there.
Oh yeah, it was going to be huge, and we are one of the biggest Bills backers groups in the country. So, I mean, people would have showed up, and it would have, you know, again, it's sad that we couldn't get together, but man, being that first group to greet our AFC East champion Buffalo Bills, and even just saying that was incredible. And for a coach to acknowledge us even better. So exciting. Couldn't believe he happened to open the door and come out right in front of me, which
that was like so neat.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The video is great too. Cause like really quick while we're still on that topic, like what other coach would do that?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the response. If you look at the tweet, I mean, the video, I posted it up on Twitter and said, you know, here's my perspective. Other people got better views of it, but I was just right in the front. So you can't really see the crowd. All you see is the buses. But it's gotten over like 15,000 views on Twitter, and all the comments are all about, this is our coach, man. And that's exactly right. McDermott knows this team from the day he walked in. He said, I want to be part of Bills Mafia. I am going to embrace Bills Mafia. I am Bills Mafia. And again, for him to acknowledge us like that, the whole crowd went nuts because we're like, this, we love this guy. He did this for us. You know, yeah. It's incredible. I don't know any other coach in the league who would be that in touch with
that's that Buffalo mentality, man, that Buffalo market, that Buffalo mentality, you know, and anybody who's playing here and coaching staff, Pegulas, I mean, down the line, I mean, we're not going to get into the fans. Obviously they're all freaking Buffalo Bills steroids, but you know, he embraces the fact that this market loves this team, and he coaches knowing that we love it. And he coaches like he really believes in the product that they're putting on the field. And, you know, him opening the door and, you know, coming out like that, he couldn't do it here in Buffalo, you know, obviously because they weren't here. But all the Bills fans supporting him there, he wanted to let them know that, you know, hey, I really appreciate you guys coming out. And, you know, yeah, we're on our way to the show.
And especially because he probably knows that you guys don't get to go see your team play all that often. Yeah. You know, that's a flight away. Right. So he sees and recognizes that, hey, wow, 70 people came out to support us. And they couldn't even go to the game. And here they are.
Yeah, it was yep. Incredible. Incredible.
It's Bills Mafia. It's Bills Mafia. I want to get to a little bit more of this playoff talk down the line here. Obviously, this team's going to the playoffs. Just depends who they're playing. We know they're going to be playing the first game in Buffalo. But if they do get that two seed, and this is a – bigger picture here, a two seed, you're guaranteeing yourself two home playoff games as a two seed. And not just that, look at the schedule for the Bills and where they land. That last week of the year, they're home against Miami. That means they will not have to leave Buffalo until potentially the AFC championship game.
Wow.
I mean, that – you're home for a month. You're home for a month before you potentially have to go to Kansas City. And that's if Kansas City makes it. Kansas City is probably the best team in football. So you're probably going to be playing Kansas City if it comes down to it in the AFC title game. But a rematch of sorts, the Bills didn't play their best against them. Their defense did.
Shoot, bring it on. We're hot right now.
That's what I say, Ashley.
I want them. Give me them. Let's take them.
That's what I want.
I agree.
So cannot wait. If that happens,
give me a healthy, really a healthy secondary, healthy yes. secondary. The please a healthy secondary and bring on Mahomes because we are getting that damn ball. Throw that shit up there if you want to, boy. We snatching it out of the air.
Well, and that's the thing. Go. Like you remember this Chiefs game? It was raining. It was 5 p.m. when we played. I think it was the Monday, right? We moved it to Monday at 5 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We were playing the Titans or the Chiefs. The game got moved. Everybody was up in arms because we're, like, getting crushed by the Titans. And then we feel like we don't have time to prepare for the Chiefs because it's, like, all screwed up. I think it just really threw this team for a loop. And that was the adversity that they had to face this season, which every team has had to. But it really just threw it off. So I think, you know, with all the injuries we had with the rain – just every circumstance surrounding that game just really seems to have an impact on these guys. So that's why I want to see these two go at it again.
I would love that. This team has everybody excited, and it's just amazing.
Hey, let's talk about that wide receiver play a little bit. I really just want to talk about it because I love it so much. What are you thinking about Diggs, man, Beasley, Davis? I mean, these boys are playing.
They're balling. Beasley had what? Is this his third straight 100-yard game for Beasley? Oh, wow.
Two receivers over 100 yards. He had Jake Kumerow coming in as our 13th different receiver to catch a touchdown pass, which ties the record. I mean, to see these guys just go out there, dink, dunk, like it was just so easy. They put on a freaking clinic.
They did.
And
they
that did. Is what I'm talking about. So that's so that statement right there, Ashley, is what I mean. Bring on anybody. Like, I don't care who we play. With that mentality, bring the rush if you want. We are dinking dunking. You can bring them boys because we know how to use that middle now, whereas we weren't completing those passes last year, the year before. You know, now we know how to use tight ends when we need to, if he can get his damn hands together, you know. But, you know, our wide receiver play is exceptional. You know, I mean, we can eat short, we can eat long. We're making all defenses man up because they need to pick their poison. We got boys out there on every position on offense that can go and get that ball.
One of my favorite plays of the day was the deep ball to Diggs after we had a three-score lead. It was almost like because he caught two of them, but they were out of bounds. The one he got one foot down, and he was like, oh, we needed it. And you could see their frustration. And Diggs was like, oh, I had it, man. I had it. And then they just were like, oh, let's prove we can do this anyway. And through the deep ball, when you're up by three scores – and after that, they were both kind of like, yeah, we got this. And it was like, you know, hey, we can do this. We're better at this than you are.
Hey, so, you know what I like? I like Cole Beasley, man. When Beasley catches the ball, he might catch in between three people. He gets up pissed. Like, damn, I don't know where he thought he was going. Like, there's three guys around you, dude. I know you're upset you didn't, you know, he just wants more, man. Like, he's just a hungry, angry guy out there, and I love it.
He's just – Beasley is honestly the most underrated player on this team because obviously Diggs gets a lot of the credit.
I agree.
Yeah. And Beasley just doesn't get as much credit as a lot of these guys get. And if you look at this season so far for Cole Beasley, he's got what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games over 100 yards receiving. And another guy too, and it's on the other side. It's in terms of running the ball. I know we've been giving the run game a lot of flack this year, but it's because we're not running the ball. We're just not.
But we had 182 yards this week. I mean, I know Devin Singletary's, you know, takeoff there. I think it was like 55 yards really kind of slanted that. But still, like,
they
found a way.
It was the drive before that mattered more. The one where they were giving it to Moss for chunks of yardage, 8-7. Just
right.
Again, moving like, hey, we can do this too, you know. We can run out the clock on you. And Denver is one of the worst teams against the run. They were like bottom five against the run, averaging like 7 or 8 yards a game, giving up or a carry in a game. And that's, you know, but we just – our strength is passing. And they said in the most of the game, we're going to rely on Josh Allen because that's what we do best. And we can attack you wherever we want. But when we hand off the ball, guess what? We're running for big chunks of yardage too. Mm-hmm. It was awesome to see. Totally balanced offense.
I mean, Singletary's averaging right now on the year 4.5 yards per carry. That's nearly 5 yards a carry. And Moss, too. Moss is averaging 4.3. I mean, it's pretty remarkable because I know a lot of times on this show we say, where's the run game? What's going on with the run game? And it's really not the guys running the ball. It's the play calling. Obviously, the play calling is working. But we're used to, like, the run game. We're used to Chan Gailey's offense where we handed it off to C.J. Spiller to run in circles in the backfield and then run for 20 yards. I mean, we're used to that. We're not used to this with a guy that can throw for 4,000 yards. And in total, I found his rushing touchdown stat for Josh. He has 8 rushing touchdowns on the year, 30 in the air. So he's got 38 total touchdowns this year. He's going to get over 40. And he's going to break that record from Drew Bledsoe. Josh Allen is the best quarterback to play for the Bills since Jim Kelly. And he honestly, he's on pace to break all of Jim Kelly's records right now.
Just like he said this week.
Said it himself, yeah.
It's remarkable. It's honestly great to see. I love it. I want to get to Josh's post-game press conference. He talked after the win about what this game meant to the city. And it's Josh Allen. And guess what? He's shutting off everything. He's like, I'm just focused on next week. Take a listen to what JA17 had to say.
I mean, again, it's great that we're able to do it for the first time in 25 years. And, you know, to be the team and to be the quarterback of the team that does it obviously feels really good. At the same time, you know, that's not our main goal. You know, we set out to do this in order to give us a chance to do what we really want to do, and that's to win, you know, Super Bowl championship. So it feels good. We're going to celebrate this one. Like I said, for the time being, it hasn't happened in 25 years. And I know our fans and Bills Mafia is probably going crazy right now, but they're still out on the table. We still have two games left in the regular season that we got to go and finish out and try to, you know, put our next foot forward and prepare for a really good New England team next week.
Josh Allen, like I said, just, we won. We got New England next week. It's amazing.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Honestly, that is what it is.
It is what it is.
That is the is what it is soundbite from Josh Allen. That is comparable to it is what it is. It doesn't get better than that. That's funny. That's funny.
By the way, Will, did you see I gave you a shout out on Twitter when Oliver made his play there?
I did see that.
That was like the third play of the game. That was amazing.
Yo, that's because he enjoyed that Popeye's chicken I sent him. I'm telling you right now, all you got to do is feed that boy. If you send him some Popeye's chicken or one of them spicy Louisiana sandwiches, shit, he'll tackle every damn body out there, even the people without the ball.
He got through and made the tackle by himself.
I literally had it on our lineup. Oh, other way.
And Oliver has a sack. Oh my gosh.
Other guys did too, but it was that Oliver that really mattered.
Exactly. Hey, why is it every time now, ever since I started joking around about that? Whenever Ed does anything, I get like 30 messages right away. Like,
I always
as
put
soon
it right
as Oliver does
chat.
Anything.
You were dogging him in the beginning of the season.
Ashley wrote this on her rundown, and I want to get an answer from every one of us before we get to the three keys of the game against the Pats this coming week. It's the one thing that stuck out to me, and we kind of mentioned it a little bit, but meaning of the division title to all of us. I want everybody to give their answer. Anthony, I'm going to start with you. First time in 25 years this happened. It's obviously an emotional topic, but what is this win? What is this title, claim to fame, you name it, mean to you as a Bills fan?
Man, I talked about how emotional I was before the game for this one, just thinking about it and trying to, you know, even leading up, people asked me, like, how are you going to feel when they win? I don't know. I've never felt this before, right? I don't know what I'm going to feel. But, man, just leading up to that moment and watching that game and having that statement, the pride you feel, like, yes, this is what I've waited all this time for. Will mentioned earlier, like, man, people who know Bills fans over the last decade, for me, it's been most of my life, really my entire life. My family has known that this is like, oh, he's a diehard Bills fan, you know, he's, you know, it's a sensitive topic, but he's so invested in it. They know that I'm so emotionally invested in it. It can happen forever that I didn't know what it was going to be like. And it was just so, I felt pride. That's what I felt. This is my team. This is Josh Allen, baby. He is king of the hill. We are the best team on the field playing football right now. And I challenge anybody to come tell us otherwise. And the message, right, from the team up, like, yes, we're celebrating this, but I bought my sweatshirt. I bought my AFC championship sweatshirt that says in big, bold letters, one, W-O-N, but not done, because we got a lot more to do here. And it's taking it one step at a time. And that's what we have to start thinking about now. But just the pride of, oh my God, we did it. We finally got this, and this is going to happen now. And we got to get used to this feeling, but we've got a lot more to accomplish than this. And we've certainly set the bar high for what our expectations are for this team.
Ashley.
Well, I obviously got very emotional as well. I also popped some bottles. But what really happened, you know, when I was going through all that emotion, it kind of brought me back to 2017 when we made the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. And most of us, you know, really were very, very young and like didn't really understand much of what was going on in 1999, you know. So it brought me back to that. And then it also brought me to all the people who didn't get to see this moment, you know, that have passed on. I know my grandmother and my father are two of those people. So that was something that really took me to a place like deep in my heart that really just brought out emotions that I didn't really know I had. And then it just, you know, as soon as they said the Buffalo Bills are the AFC champions, it was just such an incredible feeling to finally, you know, have that team that we've been dreaming of having for all these years, you know. And when you're a kid, you watch your team and you're like, man, they lost. Man, they lost again. Like my brother, he's actually a Colts fan now because we lost so much. He likes Peyton Manning, so he switched teams. He is not a Bills fan anymore because of how much they lost. And as a kid, you just want your team to be good. You just want them to win. And for all those years, we had to stick with them because our parents pushed us to. And we finally did. And it's almost like a metaphor for our life, this team. We fight no matter how low we get. You know, we keep grinding. We keep hustling to get better and better until we finally achieve what we want to achieve. And that, you know, that goal can finally be checked off our list. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we keep on just going and going to the Super Bowl.
Will.
Hey, listen. Listen, when I saw that the Buffalo Bills were AFC champs, I was watching the game. First of all, I knew it anyway. When they started, they were just killing it. I said, we're going to be AFC champs for sure. It took me back to a bunch of different things. You know, one, yeah, I'm happy that it happened. I'm very happy for the city. And it couldn't have happened at a better time, honestly. You know, for us anyway, I get it. A lot of teams, other places are losing. But for us, you know, COVID relief, you know, Cuomo's got us locked down. So it's something huge for the area, something inspirational, you know, for everyone as a little boost. If you're a Bills fan or not, I mean, it's still everywhere. The mayor's got a big banner hanging up in front of City Hall, you know, so it's a lot of hype. As far as another thing, you know, I got a lot of friends that played here, you know, back with Moles, you know, Lee Evans and, you know, obviously Stevie. You know, and a bunch of other friends that played here. And as soon as they won, it's like, wow, that's awesome. But I just still in my heart of hearts wish that it could have went down like when any of them were playing. Like, it just sweetens it even more because now it's more a lot more personal because there's like your literal friends on the field that are actually getting you to that place. But, you know, on a non-selfish note, yeah, it's amazing. You know, I think that, you know, Buffalo Bills have been the fans have been tortured for a long time, you know, dangling this carrot around our heads and we can't really tell. So that's why Bills fans break tables and drink so much at the tailgates because you've made them all reckless and manic depressants. They couldn't handle the losing every week. They couldn't handle this. They couldn't handle winning by 14 points in the end of the third quarter and our whole sideline saying, now how can we lose this damn game? We can't win this. We need to lose to keep up our regimen here. You know, so, you know, to see a team that's actually out there competing, that is hungry, that wants to win, and better yet, you know, not to repeat over and over and over again, but hey, a team that is seriously so dialed in that you can just not just be a fan and hope they win. They should win. Their offense is so potent right now. Josh is playing the best football ever. Diggs, Beasley, Davis. God, when John Brown comes back, good Lord. I mean, yeah. So when you look at what we have to work with, the Buffalo Bills have a recipe to run the table for sure for the season, but also when we do get into those later rounds of the playoffs, win that whole title and possibly make it to the Super Bowl. It's a big ticket, but if they play like this, I can't see them losing.
Yeah. One of the things you brought up that I love is Bills fans, it's not just you're a fan of a team, right? Like, I'm also a Yankees fan. I'm a diehard Yankees fan. I love them to death, but it's nowhere near the same, right?
Oh,
being
no.
Not Bills at all. Fan is part of my identity, right? Mm-hmm. If you've ever met me and gotten to know me for any reason, anywhere, outside of football, outside of anything, at work even, the first three things they would tell you is, he's a Bills fan. Like, yeah. They would know that right away. And mm-hmm. because of that, one of the other things I've been getting after this win is my friends on Facebook, sports fans and non-sports fans, people who just know me are saying, wow, the Bills are good. Congrats, man. The yes. Bills won. Like, you must be so excited. They're happy for me because they know that this is part of who I am and it is this meaningful to us.
No, and I definitely agree
with Anthony,
that.
Anybody who has an entire Buffalo Bills suit on, I would definitely think, you know, so I meet Anthony in Denver, you know, in the bar, right?
No.
You know, doing Stevie's doing the signing. They got the food and everything. I look over there. I'm saying, now, this is a damn fan for sure. Holy mackerel. Hey, man, he didn't only just come up to get an autograph, he's wearing the damn Buffalo Bills on his back. Like, you know, and you know, and here he is right now, man, still sporting it, you know, definitely a true fan and a professional too with his podcast. So, you know, it's good.
I'm going to bring up my point here for myself and Michael Jr. here. Here's the thing. I couldn't watch the game Saturday. I was in a wedding and I streamed a little bit on my phone. We caught like some of the highlights. My fiance was texting me, blowing me up about it, and kind of keeping me posted in that regard. But when I woke up Sunday morning, I was scrolling through all the social media posts. I was scrolling through the airport. I was scrolling through the Bills page. I was going on Instagram and looking at the players' videos saying, with Josh, for example, as he was driving through, saying wild is an understatement. And there's two things that I thought about. One was being, holy cow, I was three the last time this happened. And I was the size of my, like, head compared to, like, me now. And I didn't understand this when I was three. I maybe knew what the Bills were. Maybe I watched a game with my dad and drank my bottle and just didn't really understand what was going on. But growing up, I watched the one team in this division that just controlled us for 20 years. It was the New England Patriots. And every single year we were in the hunt. We were in the hunt in week 10. And everybody's like, you know what? And this is the excitement around being in the hunt. And Frank from Cheek to Wog on Twitter today said it perfectly. He goes back, I forget what season it was. I want to say it was the 2014 season. He goes, the Bills were 4-7 and they were in the hunt. And he goes, I played with the NFL playoff simulator online for 5 weeks. And I kept convincing myself that the Bills were going to make the playoffs. And I kept doing that. And that was me. That's what I did too, my whole life. And then in 2017, I was blessed enough to be at that game in Miami. I was a part of that experience. I stood on a table next to Thurman Thomas, fist pumping and just going nuts. And I was crying. I was in tears. And this Sunday I was laying in my hotel room bed and I shed a couple tears. I was like, this is something that has not call it my lifetime really. And it hasn't happened. And I see what this team is capable of. And it's not even just the skill level. It's not the talent. It's not the roster. It's not the coaching. It's the way they act. And you have Josh Allen, who's he is Buffalo through and through. It's almost like he was born here. It's almost like he was a Bill his entire life. It's almost like he was born in South Buffalo and ate chicken wings and had roast beef sandwiches from the time he was 5 years old. And this guy defines this city. He defines Bill's Mafia. He defines everything that this city is about. And it just gives me chills to finally see and to be able to say that the Buffalo Bills are AFC East champions. And I'll tell you this, they're not done. And Anthony started it out perfectly by saying one not done. And he bought his hoodie. I bought a couple t-shirts myself.
Shirts. Yep.
But one not done. They're not done. And especially tonight with seeing what Cincinnati's doing against Pittsburgh, we might have two home playoff games. Maybe enough people can get vaccinated by January 18th. Who knows? But in all seriousness, this team is special for the first time in a very long time. And you know what? If it's not this year, it's gonna be soon. And I'm gonna quote an old colleague of mine, Nick Filipkowski. He's now the Williamsville Central School Williamsville Central School District Communications Department guy. He used to be a sports reporter for us at Channel 4. And he looked at me last year. He said, Mike, he goes, I know how big of a fan you are. If the Bills aren't in the AFC's championship game in the next 2 years, then call me wrong. And that was last year. And this team looks like they have a pretty damn good shot at doing that. They're not just beating teams, they're owning teams. And we have two games left. Let's see what happens. But lucky number 13, getting 13 wins would be just icing on the cake for what this franchise and what this fan base has had to go through over the last better two decades. So there was a little sentimental segment.
I liked that. Was nice. I liked that.
It was good. That was, you know what?
It was, Fredo. You made my glasses fog up, almost crying and stuff over here, man. Knock it off. Look, I'm like this. Get the wipers on my glasses.
this is more fun.
I'm trying to look cool on. I'm trying to look cool on the podcast, man. Don't be messing my game up, man. I mean, I know. Damn.
Really quick, before we wrap things up and get to the three keys to the game, I want to just give a quick shout out to our friends, our sponsors over at 26 Shirts. Today, they hit the $1 million donation milestone. Bell has talked about this for years. And today it happened, and how fitting. The week of Christmas, yes. You hit that milestone. It's really great. Anthony, since you're not always with us, I want to start with you. Three keys to the game. Hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but Bills, Patriots, Monday Night Football, 1 week from tonight.
Biggest key to the game is crush them. Crush them. I don't want to see. No, I want what we just did to Denver.
Damn, Anthony.
He just went right in there. He went for it.
Crush them. That's it. Period. All three phases. I want everything. The last time we played them, we won on a fumble at the last second. None of that. This is now our biggest statement game. Now we've won the AFC East. It's ours. Great. This game is still meaningful. Now it's time to bury the New England Patriots. Their playoff hopes are over. They know where we are and where they are. They're probably not going to show up to this game. There's nothing they do that scares me. I'm not afraid of them running the ball. I'm not afraid of them passing the ball. Cam Newton, Jared Stidham, whoever you want to put out there, the defense just has to show up and play what they can do. Do what they can do.
Right.
The last time we played them, we were not at full health. Now we are. The defense has been getting better week after week after week. This is by far the weakest opponent we're playing. So, you know, you just got to show up, play what, do what you can do on defense, stay healthy, and beat the living crap out of them. I'm telling you, in the fourth quarter, I want to score 50 points in this game too. I don't want to let let your foot off the gas here. Just score. Do what you do and do it consistently and come out the same way you have the last three games and make a statement yet again.
Right.
Crush them.
I like that.
It's the one we've been looking for all year. It's Monday Night Football against the Patriots. This is one that we circled along with some of the others on the calendar. We probably thought this game would be more meaningful than it is, but it's not. But still, it means something to the Buffalo Bills and our fans.
Last Monday night.
Violence coming out of Denver.
All right. So there's that. Will, you're up.
Okay. I'm on the same page as Anthony, man. My first key is going to be this, though. You know, we're playing the Patriots. You still can't sleep on Belichick, Cam, and them. I mean, they're still a decent football team. Anytime Belichick is coaching, it's good. I want to win the game, man. Go in here, stay focused, run the ball down their throat. I mean, I know our passing game is stellar, but I just honestly, man, if we can run over these boys, which we should be able to, I don't want to risk getting anybody hurt in this game. You know, if we don't have to, you know, get up on them and, you know, just run the ball, you know, practice that running game a little bit. Other thing is, my second key is going to be to blitz the hell out of Cam. Because when Cam is blitzed, you know, I know he's a running quarterback, but he's not the same running quarterback that he was. And when you make him scramble, he throws some crazy ducks up there. He's not that accurate on his long balls at all. And, in fact, he damn near gets his receivers killed over the middle most of the time. So I say blitz Cam, keep him off balance, contain him if he does try to run. But, you know, try to force him into some of those ugly ducks that he likes to throw up there. The third thing is going to be basically what Anthony started with. Get up on these boys, put them away. We should definitely be up by 3 touchdowns third quarter. Put them away. Don't let the foot off the gas. You know, show that we are earning every single accolade that we're getting as far as AFC champs. And, you know, and the fact that it's New England. Just do it because it's New England. Brady or not, the fact that we get to look at that score at the end of the game and see 40-something to 10, I am going to really enjoy that, seeing that. So, you know, get up on them big, put them away, you know, run the ball, blitz Cam, put these boys away. We win this game.
Ashley.
All right. Well, mine's going to kind of echo everybody else because it's pretty, you know, it is what it is. But, it is what it is. I also have a very cool shirt this week from Foxtail Shirts. It is Josh Allen. So I just want to shout out to Foxtail because they're really great. But anyways, stay healthy. That's self-explanatory. I don't want anybody hurt. Like we said earlier, maybe sitting Stephon Diggs might be a good idea. You got John Brown, you got Gabe Davis, you got Cole Beasley. I don't see why we should risk him at all for the postseason. Keep everybody healthy. Tighten up. I mean, I wrote this, but in all honesty, all cylinders are firing on this team. Nothing's really lacking. So there's little, I guess, things you could tighten up on defense. I don't know, but just make sure, you know, those last few adjustments we're making in these last couple weeks, really gearing up for this deep playoff run. And my third key, stay humble and hungry. Like Sean McDermott always says, stay humble, stay hungry. Yes, you've had a great season so far. But like Anthony said, you want to go in and crush these guys. You want to show them why we are the AFC East champions this year. We want to stick it to them. We had the billboard that we won for the fan contest. They're out of the playoffs. This is Monday Night Football. Like, there's so much surrounding this game, and there is a lot of meaning to it for us Bills fans. So stay humble, but stay hungry and beat them by 50 points.
I think you guys all took my three keys between the three of you. In all seriousness, no, but I'm going to start by kind of repeating what Ashley just said. Stay healthy. This is, you do not want to get hurt right now. You're, for once, I could say that the Bills are actually steadily healthy at the end of the season. Even last year, they were a little banged up. The year before that, everybody was banged up. So stay healthy. Keep what you have. If you have any, if you're guessing as Sean McDermott, do I play this guy? You're probably erring on the side of caution to think, yeah, don't play him. I wouldn't play Stephon Diggs. This game doesn't necessarily mean much. Yes, you want to win. Don't risk hurting Stephon Diggs even more than he already is. Let him heal and be ready for January football in Buffalo. Number two, and I feel like I say this a lot, but don't let the noise get to you. This is a game that, yes, it's on Monday Night Football. Yes, you're going up against the team that has really owned you for the last two decades. But don't let them play bully. You know what? You're the bully now. Turn around and, like Anthony said, crush them. Crush the living heck out of them and send Bill Belichick home with his, what, I think it's their ninth loss of the year if they lose, which would be, God, yeah, great. That would just be great. I would love that. And, God, I've never seen a nine in that column. It's great. and my third key to the game, I really want to see what this run game can start doing, just because right. Josh throwing the ball for 4,000 yards in a season is great, and he's going to eclipse that this week. He's probably going to break that record, if not this week. If he plays in Week 17, he'll definitely break that record. But this running the football is going to be prevalent in the playoffs. It is going to be something that playing in Buffalo, potentially playing in a snowstorm, potentially playing when it's 25, 30-mile-an-hour winds, you're going to have to run the football. I want to see what Devin Singletary and Zach Moss can do these last 2 weeks of the season. And who knows? Maybe you even start getting T.J. Yeldon involved. Maybe you see what he could bring to the table. Maybe you don't play a guy like Jake Kumerow this week and you give Yeldon the nod. I want to see what the run game has to do, because I think the run game is going to be really important come January. And you're not going to beat teams by throwing the ball for 400 yards in the snow. You're just not. We all saw that snow game 4 years ago, and I'm not saying – or 3 years ago. I'm not saying that that's going to be what it's going to look like in January. And I sure hope not, because it was a sloppy game. But it could. You can't control the weather, especially in Western New York, especially in Orchard Park. So I want to see what the run game can do these last 2 weeks of the season. Really quick, I want to give a quick shout-out to the Pro Bowl Bills. There they are. right there.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, we have like
Josh Allen, Andre Roberts,
too, I guess.
Trey White, Stephon Diggs, Tremaine Edmonds, Josh and Stephon, first-time Pro Bowlers. It's a big honor for two young bucks in the NFL, really kind of making a name for themselves this year on this Buffalo Bills roster. So congrats to them. And obviously the future is bright for these new, young, and hungry Buffalo Bills. Anthony, thanks for joining us again this week. It's always a pleasure. I'm happy we got to talk about the Denver experience and Denver or Colorado Bills backers. Feel free to hop on with us whenever. Obviously, there's a lot more football left to be played this season. You got my number. If you want to come on, just shoot me a text, man.
Heck yeah, anytime, guys. It's always good to see you all.
Likewise,
thanks,
man,
for coming on, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you. That was fun.
And lastly, obviously, it's the holidays coming up. I want to just be the first to wish you and your families a Merry Christmas. And we'll see you before the new year. But I just want to be the first to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Obviously, this year is full of trying times, so cherish the time that you have with your family. And, of course, go Bills. So thanks, guys. Thanks for watching. We will see you next week. We're going to leave you this week with the video that we played at the beginning of the show from the Buffalo Bills social media team. Shout out to Michelle Girardi. Great work as always by that team over at One Bills Drive. And Will, send us off.
Hey, listen, everybody, you know we're the Buffalo Bills. It's been a long time coming, but embrace this. It is what it is. Let's go, boys. Let's go.
See you guys. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Paimi Fairburn ready to go after the timeout. It is a 28-yarder for the win. The kick is on the way. It is up. It is good. And the Houston Texans knock the Bills out of the playoffs and the Bills season.
Trust me, I get it. There's a lot of pain in going home empty-handed.
I won't be over this until we start playing again.
But the kind of pain that eats at you just makes us hungrier.
But I promise you, our guys are hungry and we'll be back.
And we'll never stop fighting. Winners know how to turn that pain into growth.
And late last night, things heated up between the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills, ending with Stephon Diggs being traded to Buffalo.
Stephon Diggs is putting on a clinic now.
Stephon Diggs makes a catch.
They can't be stopped.
This isn't the same old Bills, man. We're not going to let anybody on the outside tell us who we are.
Come on, what you going to do? Who you going to be? Yeah. Who you going to be? Who you going to be? Who you going to be?
Got Tyler Croft open. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
They want to talk about our blue collars and our rust belts. We'll just keep faking guys out of their shoes.
Oh, gosh, ankles, socks, and shoes.
Go ahead. Keep calling us underdogs while we unleash our quarterback.
Let them do all the talking on the inside. We're not 3-1-2-6.
Josh Allen's been incredible. It's a thing. It's becoming a superstar thing.
You got to be finding a way. Finding a way.
Tell us we can't stop the best, that we won't meet the moment, and we will find a way.
Oh, he lost the ball. Buffalo takes over.
Down the middle, picked up by Jordan Poyer in the end zone.
Intercepted by Terry Johnson in midfield. Running down the right sideline, he's going to score.
This year, there's no in the hunt, backing in, settling. No, we're not showing up to the playoffs on a guest pass. We're writing our own ticket.
The easiest way to playoffs is winning your division. That's our mindset. That's our goal.
So we'll see you in Buffalo in January. Be ready. It might be chilly.